Hour number two, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'm Chase McCabe. She's Michelle Knezovic. Nick Kieser on the ones and twos. We'll go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and say hello to Fox 17 sports director Jill Jelinek, who is with us. Jillian, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jill.
What's up, guys? Good morning, Michelle. Good morning, Chase. And happy Friday. My goodness. Even though it's snowing and freezing, I'm just so happy it's Friday.
I'm very happy it's Friday.
Girl,
it's,
you can say that again.
It's Friday.
Oh, gosh, Chase, no. We're not going to do that.
No, we're not doing that? Okay, that's fine. You've obviously been around the Titans this week. Monday being the big day that it all came to an end. They cleaned out their lockers. First of all, you know, we've kind of had this discussion all week. Do they run it back with Tannehill and Derrick Henry? I am of the belief that they do, that Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill will both be back. You were in the locker room where both of them spoke. Were you able to kind of get the vibe of kind of where they felt they would be and how they wanted things to be?
Ryan Tannehill, yes. Derrick Henry, not as strongly. We were only able to talk to Derrick Henry for a brief period before they had to close down the locker rooms. We kind of got him at the end of the open locker room period. So we asked him maybe 3-4 quick questions, and they were mostly about, hey, you know, the uncertainty of this team going forward and also the tough ending. He answered them as best he could, but I couldn't get a feel one way or the other on his future, how he felt about the Titans moving forward. I think Derrick Henry was still so upset about, well, having locker room clean out on the Monday after regular season, right? So that was my take on Derrick Henry. Ryan Tannehill was different. We hadn't talked to the Titans quarterback the last two locker room clean out days the last 2 years. So the fact that we were able to talk to him on Monday was a huge deal. And I don't think that was a coincidence. I think quarterback Ryan Tannehill made it a point to make himself available because he knows he has a big question mark attached to his name going into this year. Yes, Ryan Tannehill is under contract for another year. He still has one more year left on his original 4-year, $118 million contract. However, he knows the Titans can save a whole lot of money if they trade or release him in this offseason. And so I saw Tannehill talking to us as a move of leadership. That was a veteran. That was him addressing any questions we threw at him, including his ankle surgery, how he was feeling, what happened this year. I saw that move as a, hey, not only am I a large part of this team, I want to be a part of this team moving forward. So I really enjoyed the chance to talk to him, especially because we hadn't talked to him since before his ankle surgery. So he was a very insightful interview. Again, Derrick Henry, it was great to talk to him, but you could tell the King was still very, very upset about the way the season ended, and rightfully so.
Yeah, no doubt. Jill Jelinek is with us from Fox 17. I believe, you know, outside of general manager, obviously that's important, but the offensive coordinator is going to be the biggest story from the, you know, football standpoint and coach's standpoint of who's going to get that job. What's kind of your thoughts on, should they go with someone that runs a similar system to the one that they have run previously, or do you think Mike Vrabel is going to look to maybe open up new ideas a little bit?
I love this question because I was thinking the same thing too, and you're right, Chase. They first have to address general manager, and once they do, then a lot of other pieces will kind of form and we'll get a better idea of the identity of this technically new Titans team going into 2023. But when you look at the offensive coordinator specifically, you have to also take into account head coach Mike Vrabel. And I know that's a duh, like, of course you got to take it to the head coach, but how many times, this is what I mean by that, how many times has head coach Mike Vrabel talked about loyalty, talked about trust, having right. It be a two-way factor? It was one of the first answers he had in his presser on Monday. Trust and loyalty is a two-way street. And when he was asked about evaluating coaches and who he and as well as the general manager. That was the very first thing he brought up, because that is him to his core. That is who he is. He's a player's coach, who's in the league forever. He lives and dies with these players and coaching staff, and he's made it a point to tell us that week in, week out. Why is that important? Because I think that Coach Vrabel, having trust or having played with or having worked with another coach that they're considering as an offensive coordinator, I think that might have an advantage over somebody else, let's say, that Coach Vrabel hasn't worked with or played with before, because that automatic trust and loyalty factor is not there. Now, to answer your question, Chase, I absolutely think they should be looking outside and looking for a fresh mind, looking for some fresh ideas when it comes to offense, because at the end of the day, that's what killed them this season, was the offense. No matter what way you put it, no matter what stats you look at, it was the offense that crushed them this season. So, yes, I hope they look outside for some fresh ideas, fresh faces. Obviously, Derrick Henry and the Titans being a ground game, pound it on the ground kind of offense is going to play a huge part in this. But I would also look into offensive coordinators that Mike Vrabel already knows, right? So Tim Kelly, I think, is one of the big, most obvious ones. I know, Chase, you like him a lot. Obviously, he was an offensive coordinator with the Texans.
Yep.
And was a passing game coordinator this year. So a lot there. Bill O'Brien, a name that's been, we've heard a lot. I think, obviously, that he's in there not only because of his experience, but he also gave head coach Mike Vrabel his first assistant job in the NFL. So obviously there's that trust factor and that loyalty factor. But I do hope they look elsewhere, because this team does need a fresh mind, fresh face, and some fresh ideas. But if Vrabel knows you, has played with you, I think there's going to be an advantage because of how much he prioritizes loyalty.
We've got Jill Jelinek with us from Fox 17 Sports Director. Jill, sticking with the offense for a second, taking a guy like Treylon Burks, what do you think you need to see from him from now until training camp to, you know, see that he could be a wide receiver one for this team? And I'll throw another thing onto you too. Do you think it's worth taking a look at a DeAndre Hopkins or trying to go out and getting another veteran receiver to add to this wide receiver room?
Let's start with that second question first. Yes, absolutely. How many times did we look at the Titans wide receiver core this year and say, God, if only we had just that one big star making play, if only we had that one top player that could change, that could really extend plays and make this a ball game. I swear, every game I feel like we looked at this wide receiver core and we just felt, we need a push. We need a spark. We need something. And it just wasn't there. The talent level wasn't there. Also, you know, the injuries were a huge issue, especially with that unit. When you look at Kyle Phillips, when you look at Treylon Burks, not being able to have a full healthy season. So, yes, absolutely they need to look elsewhere. And who wouldn't love to have DeAndre Hopkins on their team? And I think his name is an interesting one, not just because of how, you know, him being an all-pro wide receiver and the talent level, but he also has his connection with Vrabel too, with the Texans. I think that's one of those where I will believe it when I see it. But yes, to answer your question, they absolutely need an elite wide receiver that's going to take their offense to that next level. Circling back to Treylon Burks, talking to him this week in the locker room clean-out day, he was a different player talking to him Monday than he was when we first interviewed him after the draft. And the biggest difference, one word, maturity. When he was talking to us, you could tell how poised he was, how calm he was, how reflective he was in you know, and those scrums in the locker room are no joke. They can be intimidating to a rookie, but you could just tell in his answers and his poise and his demeanor how much he's grown this season, mentally, obviously physically. I think my big takeaway from Treylon Burks is, to quote Mike Vrabel, there's a lot of meat left on the bone there. And he is a player that knows he wasn't able to reach his potential this year because of the injuries, because of the training back setback. Remember, he had so many question marks that training camp, wasn't able to keep up because of his health. That was a huge storyline. and we berated him immediately. We could not get enough of him, and he got his big first dose of NFL media, right? And he was almost like a deer in the headlights mm-hmm. sometimes when we were talking to him. But that's not him anymore. He's gone through his first rookie year. He's shown flashes of greatness, and then he also had to experience difficult adversity. He was out two times with two injuries, you know, the concussion at the end. I know that Treylon Burks knows he has not been able to show his full potential. And so I see someone that has really grown, that is no longer a rookie, and that is hungry for next year.
Jill, I agree. And Treylon was one of the guys who had some unfortunate injuries this year, the turf toe, the concussion. But Mike Vrabel spoke on all the injuries this team has suffered this year and actually called a couple guys out in Christian Fulton and David Long Jr., saying, you know, these guys are repeat offenders of these soft tissue injuries, and they're trying to figure out how to limit them. Did you take anything from Mike Vrabel calling those two specific guys out, or just on his, you know, explanation of the injuries as a whole and how the organization is trying to handle them?
Michelle, I'll be honest with you. When he made reference to those two players when answering a question about injuries, I didn't view it as him calling them out. He singled them out, yes. Mm-hmm. He singled them out. But when it comes to injuries and a coach bringing up players that are consistent with injuries, I don't see it as a spiteful, as a mean or aggressive way. I saw Vrabel's comments about it, about Fulton, Dave Long Jr., and the comparison to Kevin Byard, who mm-hmm. hasn't suffered a hamstring injury in forever. I saw that as frustration. I saw that as frustration with the system. I think when it comes to injuries, Vrabel made it very clear on Monday they have some sort of a systemic issue there, because to his point, there's a reason why David Long Jr. and Christian Fulton are having these soft tissue injuries consistently and Kevin Byard hasn't. Is it because of their warm-ups? Is it because of their preparation? Is it because of what they did in the training camp? Was it because of the amount of lifting or the lack of lifting they did in the offseason? He is trying so hard. And you could tell on Monday, again, when he was answering these injury questions, he is determined to figure out some sort of pattern or some sort of link between his players that are getting injured and those that are not, and also the Titans' injuries versus everyone in the league. Other than the general manager and offensive coordinator and contracts, injuries is the next biggest thing he knows him and his staff need to address. I saw it as frustration more than calling out these players, just because we know how much Vrabel values those players, how much he's talked about them. Christian Fulton's success, David Long Jr.'s success. The Titans took a huge step back when those players were out. And so, yes, obviously, they're at a point right now where they have a chance to do something about it. They have time now, since they're not getting ready for a game this week. They have time to really look into the system, the processes of all these players, compare and contrast, and get down to the nitty-gritty of, okay, what is it? And what can we do differently moving forward? And I really hope, obviously the sake of this organization, they are able to find something, whatever it is. There's a good chance the media and us, we will never know, you know, what they find out.
Nope.
But we'll know it.
Probably
but
not.
But we will know the result of it in 2023.
No doubt. Jill, fantastic job as always. And you can also catch Jill as a member of the Music City Bets podcast, which you can get at thegamenashville.com.
Nice.
Yeah, of course. Shameless plug, for sure.
Thanks, Jill.
That's right. We got some great games this weekend. I wish, of course, the Titans were playing, but still, looking forward to a fun wild card weekend and a very interesting off season for the Titans. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jill. Have a good Friday.
Jill Jelinek, Fox 17 Sports Director. You can catch her weeknights on Fox 17. Also, Sports Overtime Sundays at 10 on Fox 17. We talked about the whole injury thing earlier to start the show. I want to get back into that coming up next and maybe some other things with the Titans. But I do think that this is a very interesting conversation. I'm glad you brought it up with Jill. We'll do that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Those practices are hard, and they wear on your body, and they wear your tires out really fast.
Right there. That. Uh-huh. The practices wore on your body very hard. No wonder they have all these damn injuries.
That's what I'm saying.
No wonder they have all these. Taylor Lewan is telling you right there. Now, whether you want to believe Taylor Lewan or not, whether you like Taylor Lewan or not, that's a different story. But he's telling you right there, like, listen, those practices are grueling, you know, and there was no let up, at least not in the beginning. Now, toward the end, yes. But you see why these guys are starting to get injured, or you wonder why. Is it the training staff fault? But nobody ever pointed to the head coach and what they're doing out on the field. And is he giving them enough rest?
That's Derek Mason, Caroline Fenton yesterday talking about the injuries. We got into this to start the show. Michelle brought it up with Jill, so I figured we'd go back to it. Because I think that this is going to be, you know, as you go through the checklist of things mm-hmm. you got to do, yes, you need a GM. Yes, you need an OC. Yes, you obviously have to upgrade the roster. But keeping these guys on the field is going to be a major priority that, and I'm not saying that it hasn't been, but for whatever reason, things have not worked right the last 2 years. And that's on the player, that's on the coaching staff, that's on everybody involved. But I think it's interesting that, you know, Taylor said that, and then Derek is like, hey, if these are they not getting enough rest time? When I think sometimes they might be too conservative, at least from what I see. But the thing is, we don't get to see a whole lot.
No,
so,
we see a lot. It's a lot of the outside looking in and looking at injury reports and, you know, kind of trying to find little breadcrumbs that are dropped for us. For instance, in training camp, when we kind of figured out, okay, Derrick Henry's on his own schedule. And even with Bud Dupree and Jeffrey Simmons, as you get into the year, you can kind of figure out, okay, they usually sit out on this day and are listed on the injury report, but then they usually are full participant the next day. You can kind of find things like that and then assume, okay, are they, like you said, being too conservative, Chase? Or, but then Vrabel mentions in the press conference on Monday the blister and the callus comparison of, okay, are you going to work through that bit of pain you have and try to just push through because you are playing in the NFL and you're going to be hurt. You are going to be in pain during the season because of the strain that this league will put on your body. Or are you going to, you know, sit out every time you feel like you tweaked something and then try to go back in and, you know, play this game of I'm hurt, I'm not, I'm hurt, I'm not. But if maybe you push through a little bit, I'm just talking soft tissue injuries right here, not ACLs, turf toe, any of that stuff. Obviously, that's different. It's football. You're going to have those things, concussions. Those are a different story on sitting out. But it's fair to ask. It's fair to, you know, that was Taylor Lewan and Derek Mason talking on that clip and Taylor Lewan making a comment on, you know, the really hard practices. And I think that was on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast and specifically talking about Keith Carter, who was the offensive line coach. But then I also on the flip side think, okay, well, you've been here for 9 years. Like,
yeah.
It couldn't have been, you know, that strenuous and that hard that it would be enough for it to be a reason or for it to go on that long.
You know, it would be an interesting study, and I know that this is impossible to happen, but, you know, Derek is still in very, very good shape. You know, I mean, he doesn't want to get hit anymore.
Get out there, Derek.
He didn't want to get hit anymore. But, you know, I've joked with him, like, hey, you got a couple of routes left in you. I'd love to see you, you know, take passes from Tannehill or go one-on-one with Fulton, you know, guys like that. And we had Caleb Farley on during training camp, and he's like, oh, yeah, I got him. You know, I got you all, man. Like, just some of that going on. But I think it would be interesting if Derek could, you know, participate in a practice now to compare it to how it was when he played. Because, as I said earlier, the league has changed so much with their rules and practice schedules. I mean, he played in a time when you had two-a-days.
Well, and when if you hurt something, it was like, okay, don't
rub
be
some
a
dirt on it.
Let's go. Let's carry on. And to bring up even the man in the arena, the episode I watched last night, and I think you said you've seen it, so you probably remember this, but the specific one that Mike Vrabel is in, it is, you know, him, it's Brady, and it's a group of the guys on the 04 team, and they talk about, you know, having an edge mm-hmm. and being able to push, like, you're, hey, I got the edge on you. I stayed longer. Oh, you're already leaving? It's too early. Oh, you're already leaving the facility? Oh, I got here.
Vrabel would be there early. Yeah.
I got here at 6. Oh, you're here at 6:30. I've already been here for 30 minutes. You know, having that edge and just really, really pushing people to these lengths And then they talked about it, you know, after they won that Super Bowl, after they went back to back, they talked about, you know, you can't sustain that. You can't sustain that that mentality for so long. And it was kind of the end of that era. So maybe the mentality in coaching is like pushing people to their furthest level, but not everybody can handle that. And it takes a mentality. I mean, look at Brady's still in the league pushing right to that level. Like, it takes a certain mentality to be able to deal with that and to be able to handle that and to push through some of these injuries.
To that point, and this is a hypothetical, but let's say, you know, Brady came in 2000. That was his first year.
Mm-hmm.
Different league then. Different mentality, different time. If Brady came in, let's say, 2010, 10 years later, I don't know if he plays as long as he's played. Just because of just things are different. Mm-hmm. It's a different mentality. And I think there are good things to take away from the old days. There are obviously bad things to take away from the old days. I think there are good things to take away from now. There are bad things to take away from now. But I do – and I'm not questioning any of these guys' toughness by any mm-hmm. means. But because let's just be honest. I'd last 5 minutes in one of these practices. I think you know
five,
what's funny?
Chase? Five is a lot. Listen, I've done a minute plank before, and I am like – dying. A minute is a long time when you are working out.
I'm going to make it a goal in the next 6 months to get Mike Vrabel on this show, because I know he doesn't like to do that a whole lot, but I would love to get Vrabel on the show. And I think if you ask him straight up, you probably have to be the one that asks him this.
Great.
If you could get some of us media members to participate in a practice, how beneficial would that be? They all sign a waiver. He would laugh and he'd go, oh, I would love that, because then y'all have no idea.
Well, it was interesting. We brought this up. I think it was during training camp or early in the season. I was talking to Teresa Walker, and, you know, she's been covering the team forever. And she said they used to do like one day.
Yep.
Maybe when it was Jeff Fisher was the coach. I'm not sure. I'll have to ask her. But
yeah, it would have been.
She said they did one day where all the media members, they did drills and stuff. Mm-hmm. She said it was so fun. I'm like, I'll beat Rex Road. Like, Rex Road, I hope you're listening right now. Like, that would be so fun.
Look, you and Jill would, and Nikki would probably school everybody. Caroline, Jared would pull something. Joe would pull something.
Joe would hurt himself.
I would probably tear something.
No, D-Mace would be running laps, though.
D-Mace would.
Actually, he doesn't count. Sorry, D-Mace.
Yeah, D-Mace is kind of like in a
different category.
But it would be fun. That would be fun. And I think Vrabel would have fun with it.
You know who I think would be sneaky good would be Jim Wyatt. He is a fast walker.
Jim Wyatt would be sneaky good.
And Beauclair. Beauclair works out a lot.
TD. Oh. I mean, TD would be really good.
TD would be right up there.
TD would be like, coach, let me run some routes. Like, he'd be all about it. He'd want to go one-on-one with Fulton like right away.
Okay, so we need to make this happen by next training camp
I think that would be great.
So. J-Rob! Hey, J-Rob, it's
John,
me!
John, I can play in the offensive line if you need me. It's me, Jared. You know
fan
me.
Fanboy.
Yeah, fanboy Stillman.
I was like, what is that?
I thought you were talking.
I was like, what was that? No, that was at training camp. That was great.
Oh, that is great.
Because I think Jared had walked by with his clipboard looking like Coach Jared. See, that's the thing. Jared would be like, I don't need to participate. I want to coach. I want to be out there with a whistle. I want
to
be a coach.
Nobody give him a whistle.
God. Jared coaching linebackers. That would be
something.
You
lose the clipboard and whistle privileges.
Vrabel would knock him over the head with it. That would be funny. Coming up next, something cool. The NFL alumni have a new initiative. We're going to talk to Al Smith, who is in charge of all that, and he'll tell you what all they are doing. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Keiser here with you on this Friday. Super Wild Card Weekend coming up. We'll have our picks in the next segment. But right now, we say hello to Al Smith. He is with the NFL Alumni Association here in Nashville. It's been a minute since we've talked to him. Al, how are you?
Doing good. How you doing, Jake?
Doing fantastic. Thanks so much for doing this, because I know, and look, we've been talking to you for a long time with NFL alumni, and you know, we've seen so many of these former Titans, former Oilers that – you know, I watch play, now work with, you know, like D-Mace and Brad Hopkins, Chris Sanders. and they're all involved with NFL alumni. But you guys have started a new initiative, joining up with the Tennessee Department of Health to launch Gear Up Tennessee. I know the announcement was made in December, but tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, basically, we had we have a partnership with the state of Tennessee Department of Health. It's basically a statewide effort, a partnership to bring awareness and to educate Tennesseans about COVID-19 and the flu shots, and basically education, especially targeting underserved communities because it's still out there, and just want to make sure people are staying safe, and just want to serve the communities that have served us so well. You know, a lot of times the community players that you named and other players, the community comes out to the games. You know, they cheer them on. They support the player. This is a way to kind of get back to the community, and it's a part of our mission with the NFL alumni, caring for our own, caring for kids, and caring for our community. And this is a way to get back to the community.
Yeah, and you have Warren Moon, of course, all-pro quarterback with the Oilers involved, Javon Kearse, all-pro defensive end, which is, you know, whenever I see things like this, and y'all have done a great job. You played for the Oilers, but obviously now here in Nashville, with the Titans, I think it's very important to mix the two and to know that they are the same franchise. So the fact that you have Warren and Javon a part of this is really neat.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's one thing about, you know, the players having an affiliation with the state of Tennessee. I mean, obviously, you know, like Warren, myself, Brad was kind of with both organizations and what have you. I basically with both organizations, you know, played with the Oilers, but worked in the front office with the Tennessee Titans for many years. So there's an affiliation there, you know, obviously, you know, coming up through the organization as a player and an executive. So it gives us the opportunity to get back to the state of Tennessee in a big way and be able to have some name recognition with the guys that are really passionate about doing things in the community, and helping out the fellow citizens.
We're talking to Al Smith, NFL alumni, here with us on Chase and Michelle. So what are some other things that people can look forward to this year as we enter 2023 with a growing list of former Titans that have joined NFL alumni?
Well, we've partnered with the city, the community engagement department with the city of Nashville. Brenda Haywood is leading the charge as the deputy mayor. There's an event coming up actually on Monday with MLK Day coming. Obviously, MLK Day, there's a community vaccination event with flu shots and COVID shots if individuals would like to get those. And if they have, you know, questions as far as different things, if healthcare providers or what have you and their doctors, they can always ask questions or what have you. But it's this Monday at Lee Chapel AME Church, 1200 Dr. D.B. Todd Boulevard, Nashville. And it's a MLK community event. Obviously, it's on MLK Day. It's from 10 to 2. So it's a nice window there during that time frame. So, you know, people can bring their families out, bring individuals out. This is coming up. We have events going to be going at, you know, throughout the year, you know, obviously in different locations and different areas. Meharry Medical Group will be coming out to give the shots to people in the community as well. Urban League is a part of it as well, and obviously the mayor's office, and just trying to touch the community, touch a lot of different people. You know, with MLK Day, it gives the opportunity for individuals to, you know, come together, because that's what he stood for, that's what we stand for, as far as bringing people together for the betterment of the good of the whole community. And it gives us the opportunity to be a part of that. And this would be a big event for people in the community to come out, meet players, be able to collaborate with some of their favorite players, get shots, be able to mingle, talk, and have fun along the way.
Al, you know, as I said, we've been talking to you for a while, but as more and more Titans come through here and, you know, spend their entire career or most of their career with the team and then retire and stay in Nashville, that's obviously going to help with the awareness with NFL alumni and all the initiatives that you all have. So how cool has that been to see of more and more of these former players? I know Delanie Walker is one that's now involved, to see them want to get involved and do things with you all.
Well, it was great having the players, you know, wanting to give back to the community. I mean, all the players that are involved are great players. Even the players that weren't at the press conference or players that are involved, they will be doing events as well, you know, down the road. D Mace, obviously, you know, that's with you guys, have done a lot of great things with our events and what have you. And we'll get him involved if he would like to be involved, you know, as we move along through the months, during the course of the year, just, you know, kicking things off at the beginning of the year now. But it's always great to see guys that want to give back to the community and do great things. It gives the community the opportunity to see guys in a different light, not just on the field, the great players on the field, but they're great individuals, great people, great persons, great family guys, or what have you. And they want to protect their families just like everyone else want to protect theirs as well. And it gives them the opportunity to be able to come out and make it more personable with the community, as opposed to just being out of the pads. You can kind of see the man behind the pads, so to speak.
No doubt. NFLAGearUp.org/Tennessee. That is the website, the NFL Alumni Gear Up Tennessee. Al, appreciate the time. As always, good to talk to you, and we'll do it again soon.
Well, definitely appreciate it. And hashtag Gear Up as well, you know, for your social media. But it's www.gearuptennessee.
Awesome. Thanks, Al. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Al Smith, the president of the NFL Alumni Association here in Nashville, in Tennessee, and it features a lot of players, a lot of greats that you know and love, including D. Mason, Brad Hopkins, Chris Sanders, Delanie Walker, Chris Johnson, names of the past, Javon Kearse, and Al, of course, a former player, All-Pro in his own right, and appreciate him taking a moment to join us and tell us a little bit more about that. Michelle, I can't wait for this weekend, Super Wild Card Weekend.
Don't forget the Super.
The Super, Super Wild Card Weekend. I feel like I need like an echo effect.
I know.
On my voice.
Super, and we're going to be using Superbook Sports. You like that?
This is why we're doing this. This is why we're a tag team now.
Listen,
this is good.
I am.
You make the corny jokes too.
I can't call them like old person jokes yet because I haven't quite passed the hump of 25 yet. But next year I can. I am so excited for this weekend. I always think that Wild Card Weekend is my favorite just because it kicks off the playoffs. But I will say I am so disappointed that Lamar Jackson and Tua Tagovailoa are still hurt and won't be able to play because the Ravens and Bengals game just would have been so much more interesting if Lamar. Listen, it's the playoffs, so anything can happen, but I feel very confident in the Bengals right now. But if Lamar was playing, and then also if Tua Tagovailoa was playing, because, I mean, both divisional matchups, we've seen both of those teams go back and forth. I mean, Miami beat Buffalo their first meeting, then Buffalo beat them. And it just would have been great to see another round of it. I do have a little betting nugget for people.
Save it.
Okay, I'll save it.
Up next.
I'll save it.
Save it. That's a tease. Michelle's betting nugget, plus we'll make our picks for Super Wild Card Weekend. That is all next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, reporter Nick Keiser behind the glass. Nick's been doing a great job on the Predators pregame show, by the way, with the behind enemy lines.
Oh, I bet he
getting
has.
It done.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
You go, Nick.
I really enjoy it. It's fun. Well, reporter Nick is in action there.
See, that is reporter Nick.
I love it.
We're going to make this a thing. It's going to take off. You can, and when you're famous and a big-time NHL reporter, you can just credit
Look,
me for
if
that.
If you do that to me and you already did it to Max, then I'm set for that. That would be awesome.
That's true. I mean, Max has hired Willie Donick as his agent, not me, but, you know, that's fine. Whatever.
That's a great hire by him.
It is.
Hey, he also was responsible for dubbing me the rookie.
Yeah, you are the rookie. Mm. That's true. So that's fine. Let's give everybody else credit. That's whatever. All right. I'm not bitter. Let's make our picks.
Before we start our picks, I've got two nuggets for people who are betting this weekend.
Not chicken nuggets. Even though those sound really good
those
right
do
now.
Sound yeah, really, really good does. Right now. Okay, so double-digit favorites have covered the last 11 games in the wild card round. So that's about 70%. Mm. Okay. And then also, since 2012, unders are 27-11 in the wild card round. So about 71% for the unders, mm. which is very, very interesting. And we can add those in with some of our bets as well. But starting off, first game of the weekend, we've got the Seattle Seahawks at the 49ers. The Niners are 9.5-point favorites. Over under here, it's going to be 42. I can start us off, guys, but I already said this one earlier this morning. I've got the Seahawks plus the 9.5. I think that this will be a closer game than people expect. The Seahawks barely made it into the playoffs, but I think they give the Niners a good game. Also going to take the under on that one. Chase?
So on the aforementioned Music City Bets podcast, we talked about this game, and I asked the question of all the games that have large lines that aren't close, which one has the potential to actually be close?
I think this one.
It's this one. I still think San Francisco wins by 10.
By 10?
So okay. I'm gonna lay the points. I like the under as well. I think Purdy continues to show out, and Geno's been a great story, but I think it all comes to an end.
Nick, what do you got for this game?
I really like Christian McCaffrey. I actually traded for him midway through the season in fantasy football with fellow part-time producer Connor Newt, but I really, really like how he's been playing with them, and he's unstoppable. I mean, he's at another level with them in that offense. Give me the 49ers. I like them.
Okay, so you guys...
And George Kittle, I think, is going to be a big factor,
both
too.
Both are taking the Niners minus the 9.5. Okay, moving on to the night Saturday game. I'm so excited for this one. This is number one on my list to watch this weekend. We got the LA Chargers heading to Jacksonville. Chargers are favored by 2.5. I will let you go first on this one, Chase.
I've been pretty consistent all week on this. I like the Jags. I think the Jags win at home. You know, I kind of felt like they were going to win a game. Mm-hmm. So I like them. I like the Jags. And Trevor, we trust.
I'm on the same page as you. They've got home field advantage. It was a playoff environment when I was down there last week. I think the Jags are on a roll right now. I also trust Doug Peterson more than I trust Brandon Staley. So I'm going to take the Jags plus the 2.5. I'm also going to take the over on this one. I know it's pretty high, 47.5, but I think we have a bit of a shootout with both of those two quarterbacks.
Yeah, and one thing that's cool about this is Al Michaels will be back on NBC to call this game with Tony Dungy.
Oh, that'll be a nice music to my ears, I guess you could say. Also, they just announced that Herbert does not want to be announced with the offense when he goes out on Saturday. Why? So doesn't want the spotlight on him. So that's kind of interesting. Needs interesting. To be in the zone for it. Okay, switching to the Sunday games. This line has moved a bit. We've got the Miami Dolphins in Buffalo. Buffalo is favored by 13.5, just shy of 2 touchdowns. I am going to take Miami plus the 13.5. I know Tua will not be playing, but I still think this Dolphins team will be able to make it close. I think Buffalo wins on the money line, but give me the Dolphins plus 13.5. Chase? Ooh.
Did Nick make
it? Oh, Nick, I skipped Nick. Sorry.
It's okay. I wanted to point out one thing about Trevor Lawrence. I don't think he's lost a game on Saturday in his entire football career before the NFL. Give me the Jags, but we're okay. Let's move forward with our next picks here.
Okay. All right. And also, I'm going to give announcer pairings. Joe Davis and Daryl Johnson will have Seahawks 49ers. I am going to go Bills. Bills big. Bills are playing for a lot. They are playing for last year. They lost and didn't quite get there. They obviously have Super Bowl aspirations. They're playing for DeMar Hamlin. And I think the Dolphins, like, it's awesome they got in, but without Tua, I don't feel good about it. So give me the Bills and give me them big. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo on CBS.
Yeah, who's starting for the Dolphins again?
Skyler.
Yeah, who?
Thompson?
Yeah.
Who? Yeah, Skyler really. Thompson. Give me the Bills.
Skyler Murray, he's Kyler's cousin.
Whoa.
Twin, actually.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. Okay, then. Yeah, give me the Bills purely just on what I said. I don't think they have a chance if they don't have Tua.
Listen, it's the NFL. We will see, though. Next one, I'm really excited for this one. New York Giants, we previewed it a little bit with Sean Henry, my fellow New Yorker. Head into Minnesota to face the Vikings. Vikings are favored by 3 points. I think Saquon has a big game. I think that the Giants have a chip on their shoulder. Give me the Giants plus the 3 in this game, Chase.
Giants plus 3, money line all day. Lock it in.
Ooh.
That went it on Fox with my man Kevin Burkhart and Greg Olson.
Okay.
And as Derek has been saying, G-men.
G-men.
I'll take it.
Okay, so we are going Giants all the way around on this one. Next game, touched on it a little bit. We got the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. Lamar took to Twitter and ruled himself out this week, or yesterday, I guess you could say. He will not be playing. So we've got the Bengals minus 9.5 in Cincinnati. Give me the Bengals minus the 9.5. Give me the over on this game. 40.5 is the over-under. I think Cincinnati scores big in this one and puts a lot of points on the board and pretty much will hit the over themselves in this game. Chase, what do you got for this game?
This one will be, of course, on NBC with Tirico and Collinsworth. I like the Bengals, and I like them big. I don't think Lamar plays, doesn't appear that way, and so give me Cincinnati. We talked about this on the Music City Bets podcast.
Ooh, okay.
Rick's just going to keep buying me beers. I do the the
I'm doing the
out.
Free
so that's
ads.
Four. That's four now that he owes me. I like Joe. I think Cincinnati's another team on a mission because they got to the Super Bowl last year.
I agree.
And lost. Burrow's so freaking good.
Yes.
Like, I love watching him play. So I like Cincinnati.
Well, Michelle, I'm going to actually take the under on this.
Okay.
And here's why. I think, just real quick, the wide receivers did not play very well for the Bengals last week. And I think that could be something to just think about here. Now, if Burrow gets rolling and he becomes confident, give me the over. But I think just this first week for playoffs for them, give me the under, give me Bengals.
Okay. And then finally, last but not least, we have got a Monday playoff game. A little Monday Night Football action.
Got a Manning cast, too.
I kind of like it. I don't know how people feel, but I kind of like having Monday football. Who doesn't love another day with football? So we've got the Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Listen, we've talked about this game. This is going to be one of the big games. People are looking for an upset. The Cowboys have one of the best rosters in the NFL right now, but a lot of this will fall on Dak's shoulders. I believe if they lose, Mike McCarthy is out the door. Cowboys still are favored by 2.5 in Tampa. I'm sorry, Chase. I really am. But I am taking Tampa plus the 2.5. I trust Tom Brady more.
Brady Homer.
No, not Homer. I just trust him more in the playoffs. I think that this is set up for the Cowboys are a better team. But I don't trust Dak. Most interceptions this year and missed 5 games.
Hit it, Nick. How about them Cowboys? Next.
Okay, we know where Chase is going. Chase is going Cowboys minus the 2.5.
Of course.
Now, Nick, you will be the tiebreaker.
No, I'm not going Cowboys.
Fine.
And I talked about it.
We don't want you. We don't want either one of you.
You know what? I talked about it on Zingers a lot this year. I just don't feel as confident about them making a playoffs because Tom Brady is...
That's why he's the GOAT! The GOAT!
Simply put, okay? And he's never lost to the Cowboys, Chase. And I know that they want to break that streak. But Tom Brady is a confident human being, and I just don't think the Cowboys are going to have enough. I think it's going to be a 17-10 game.
Have either one of you ever seen Old Yeller?
I don't even know what that is.
You don't know what it is?
Movie, I'm assuming?
It's
a movie,
seen
and it's
it.
A sad movie. Oh. Because he's Old Yeller, he's a dog. He gets to a point where... Got to take him behind the barn.
Really? You're going to take him out of his misery just like that?
That's what the Cowboys are
going
to do.
He's a single man now and all this is going on.
He ain't single. He's doing all right from what I can tell. He's doing all right.
Well, that'll be our slate of games this weekend. Everybody get those bets in on Superbook Sports.
Yeah.
And then tweet at us. We want to see them, what you got this weekend. Hopefully you win some money as well on them.
And listen to Music City Bets. That's 5. Thanks, Rick.
5 beers for Chase
be a good
this weekend. While he's watching
I'm watching
some
the Cowboys.
Football.
I'm going to have to go to a bar Monday night and watch the Cowboys.
Listen, I think I had a call your shot that Tom Brady will have a game-winning touchdown drive. I think you need to, if it's a close game, record or go live or something.
Yeah.
In the last couple minutes of the game, just to get that raw reaction from you. And we can use the audio on Monday, or on Tuesday, I guess.
We can do that. We can make that happen, for sure.
Second week in the books.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the support and joining us. It's been fun. We'll keep doing it. We'll come back Monday.
Yeah, we will be back
Monday. And we will react
Monday.
To Super Wild Card
will
Weekend.
Will Chase be back on Tuesday? We are not sure. That depends on Monday night.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. For Nick Kieser, Michelle Knezevic, I'm Chase McCabe. Stick around, though. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. That is all next on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.